Log Talk Radio.
Oh, hey, is everyone here?
I'm here.
Yeah, I just read the text.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
How's our sick leader?
Yeah, we're risky.
Well, I understand he's sick, but he's running the show.
Oh, okay. No, I guess we're just going to run it tonight, Viper.
Well, I'm glad I'm not alone.
All right, well then, let's just get into it, should we?
Or well, should we yeah, I think we, yeah.
Week, should we talk about last week a little bit? For anybody that doesn't understand the NFL, I think a lot of times we take division games for granted. As bettors, as whatever, as forecasters, last week we saw two games in a division, Houston destroying Jacksonville in Jacksonville, and Arizona destroying the Cowboys, even at home. Wow.
And I believe the entire panel got those games wrong.
Everybody, right? How do you predict those games? This is what I'm saying. Like, there's no, now I know the first 5-6 games of every season is actually harder than people think about predicting football because you can't forget about yesterday, but today's team is technically a different team than yesterday. Injuries, whatever, so forth, so on. But I think these two games came clear out of the water. I think nationally, everybody got bamboozled on these.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of games I was shocked. I mean, there's no doubt Dallas. I mean, good Lord. Who predicted that wasn't throwing money on a long shot just to see if they made it big? I mean, there's no rational reason to ever pick against Dallas in that scenario.
No, not at all. And then on top of it, Jacksonville at home and to a Houston team that most people thought this year maybe 4 wins, maybe? A whole
yeah, yeah. Considering the losses on defense with J.J. Watt retiring and rookie quarterbacks and I don't even know who the running game is. So, I mean, I don't even know the running backs in Houston right now. Who's running the ball? I mean, how do you predict this?
I mean,
it's crazy.
No, and we're talking about a Jacksonville team that not only went to the playoffs last year in the AFC, which to me overall is a lot tougher to get into the playoffs than the AFC, and they got a playoff win, and they almost beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's pretty shocking. And that's why the whole season's a grind.
It was that close. Like, that was a fun game to watch. Now, to me, in the NFL playoffs, the last 2 years, some of these games have been amazing. So a lot of these games are fun to watch. But I would definitely say there was a split second I thought the Jaguars were going to beat the Chiefs. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Like, if this happens in the playoffs, this is a script that when people say the NFL was scripted, was not written. I guarantee you this.
Right. Yeah. And it was an eye-opener. And you know, the games – I mean, the things we did predict, whether we got the pick correct or not, we knew that Minnesota and San Diego were going to go down to whoever had the ball last, and that's exactly what happened, except T.J. Hockenson tossed up a catchable ball in the end zone for Minnesota, turned into an interception. But
oh,
that game came down
on
the wire, just like we all knew it would.
No, and what really is horrible, and we've talked on this show for many years, that the quarterback is still responsible for that interception. That goes on their record, their stats.
Unfortunately, yeah.
You know what I mean? There's nothing you can do. And it's like...
Yeah, exactly.
That is so unfair because, especially if you look at certain ways that contracts are written nowadays and incentives laden, that might affect you at the end somehow, you know? Like that guy popping up the ball might have cost you $500,000.
Well, here's a question we can probably pose. I mean, if anyone's listening and wants to call in, let's go to baseball. What's the difference between a pass ball and a wild pitch? It's a judgment call, right? It's how it's put in a scorebook. Is it a wild pitch,
yeah,
meaning the pitcher had no control, or is it a pass ball, meaning the catcher should have got it but didn't? Is there any way the NFL can adopt a kind of rule like that?
Oh, no, and if we're talking about NFL rules, what is that we can't even review the time clock in the NFL? Did you see this with
boy.
The Lions and Packers?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was shocked.
No, yeah, elaborate and go into it and explain it to the people. But, yeah, this is a rule that needs to be changed, and I'm the last person that would ever tell you to change a rule.
Right, and I think the reason it needs to change, I mean, look at what basketball does. They review all the time when the shot clock runs down or the game clock runs down. Did the ball get out of the player's hands in time? Well,
cross the line. That puck can't cross the line at 0-0, right? That puck has to cross the line of regulation.
Yeah.
Right? So,
here's what's funny. They'll review a play. Let's say there was a penalty on a play. They'll review to set the clock back to so many seconds to make sure they don't miss those seconds. Why is that reviewable, but you can't go and look at the play being at, the clock being at 0-0-0 to see if they got the playoff in time? That makes no sense whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can get into all these dynamics and so forth, but in the NFL – literally, I think we should be able to review the end of the game in the time aspect of it, you know?
Yeah.
As of right now, I don't think it's reviewable.
Right, and everyone can argue that, oh, well, the Lions, you know, they shouldn't have let that long play go. Well, if your player seeing zero on the clock, I mean, what are you thinking? You're thinking, oh, it's the end of the quarter. Let's go start the fourth. And then, boom, they snap the ball. I mean, that's a perfectly normal reaction for any player. That play may not have happened even in the execution standpoint because everyone thought the quarter was over.
Yeah, it was a very bizarre moment, but I think it's a very fixable moment if – the NFL just recognizes this moment, and the season has started. You can't really change rules in the middle of the season. This doesn't work well. But this is something that could possibly be reviewed and changed going into next season, which is a good point because this is like one of the few times against the Detroit Lions that something weaker does not happen against them, that it really costs them a game or a playoff win or whatever.
Right, exactly. And,
yeah,
you know, like you said, you're talking about contracts, you're talking about incentives, you're talking about, hey, that play never happens. Chances are Jordan Love doesn't go get a touchdown. You know, that's X amount of yards that he never would have got, you know?
Oh, yeah, all this weird stuff that most people don't realize, the NFL really is a game of inches.
And we're going to break into the Al Pacino Any Given Sunday speech now?
But what we should talk about before the pick is we should actually talk about, and this will go into the picks. We should really start off with this first game. But we saw some massive blowouts last week. We saw two of them, right? And now these two teams are going to play each other this week. And what's ironic is you're the home team, and the other team you're going to play against gave up 70 points. 70 points has only happened 4 times in the NFL history period, and the last time was 1966. And you, actually, in this game, are the underdogs by 3 points. How effed up is that?
Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
I mean, how do you even describe it? How do you tell a Chicago Bear fan that you at home, after your embarrassing loss, and it was embarrassing, that the team that you're playing against gave up 70 points last week, and they are favored by 3.
Stupid, because they won't be patient.
What do you tell the young Chicago Bear fan? Hang in there?
I think you tell them, hang in there. It's going to be a long ride to get back to being relevant. I mean, it is going to be a while
now after that embarrassing loss that Chicago just had, is Justin Fields over? And is this over for the Chicago team with Justin Fields? Or is this the game that kicks them into another year that he says, F what the whole team has been telling me. They've mismanaged me the whole time. They let me run free reign. I actually can win 500 ball.
I don't think they're even gonna get to 500. And I can't see it happening.
And weren't the Bears counting on the Packers being horrible this year for them to be like 500? Right.
Turn the car if you're gonna do the fucking thing.
Well, I think the Packers have a brighter future. Neither team's good, but I think the Packers at least have a decent foundation to build off of. The problem with the Packers
is Jordan Love is actually probably a pretty decent quarterback. We don't know if he's the next Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, but didn't they kind of develop him in the same way that he would be?
Yeah, I mean that's their MO, that's their model, and you know, that's going to be the model that they follow.
Well,
and they think it's going to work again.
But before the Lions game, Jordan Love had 7 touchdowns and 1 interception. Like, no one's going to argue with you at that early in the season. You know what I mean?
It's definitely not bad. I mean, obviously it wasn't against the really good defenses in the league, but here's the problem in Green Bay.
So I don't know what he did with Detroit. I'm just saying, you know, it, 7-1, any quarterback, you'd be happy. Tom Brady, you know.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal with Jordan Love and the Packers. And, well, we have to the Packers fans probably will never understand because they're a Packers fan. But what everyone's had to understand, the Packers are used to watching elite quarterback play for going on 3 decades. Okay?
Yeah.
They had almost all of Brett Favre. They had all of Aaron Rodgers until this season. That's literally 3 decades of having a top 5 quarterback piloting your team. And Jordan Love's not terrible.
No. No, not at all. Like, he actually looks like somebody that has a chance. I think in the NFC North, I think he'll be fine. And then it's in the NFC. So he
right.
could be a top 5 quarterback at maybe number 5, but it's obtainable.
No, yeah, totally. I mean, I don't think – here's the deal, though. He doesn't need – he can be a good quarterback and not be top 5. The problem is the Packers aren't used to that because they've had a top 5 quarterback for 30 years. And
right.
just because Jordan Love doesn't end up being that doesn't mean he's a failure. It doesn't mean the franchise is a failure. They're just going to have to find another way to win a football game like everyone else in the league does that doesn't have an elite quarterback. So that's going to be the adjustment for Packers fans. You know, I think we've kind of addressed all of last week. What were the numbers last week? Do we recall? I think those are important to discuss, don't you,
Seth? Skeet will probably have to just text us on our chat. But let's go into the first game of the week, or some of the games of the week. I might have them slightly out of order, but I've got the Atlanta Falcons against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars at home are giving away 3 points, and the over-under is 43.
Boy, the Jaguars really scared me last week after watching that, didn't they? What do you think?
Oh, it took me from total confidence into really thinking they were already in the AFC wild card mix to maybe winning their division to I can't trust them as far as I can throw them. And
yeah,
it just happened like that. And it was they lost at home. It wasn't in Houston. And on top of it was Houston. And Houston blew them
right.
out. This game wasn't close. This game was never close. This game was a blowout when the whistle blew.
Yeah, shadowed only by the Dolphins, which we'll get to for sure. But no, obviously the Lions handled the Falcons pretty easily. I mean, the previous week, I mean, they manhandled the Packers. But, you know, that loss to the Lions is not a bad loss.
Well, no, but I think one of the things the Lions did against the Falcons was they really contained Bijan Robinson. And that was
the run defense,
that the Falcons would – I thought he was going to rush for at least 100 yards. I think – what did he get, 33?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's typical of the Lions defense – typical of a Lions defense to give up that kind of rushing stat to a team, but you know, the run defense for Detroit flexed its muscle, and they knew. I mean, we all know. Aaron Glenn to think.
And hey, if anyone's been listening to this show for a while, they know I call them the Detroit Lion. I have no faith, no confidence. My dad forced me to be a Lions fan. I chose the Raiders and Steelers ahead of that. They were my number 3 team. But I will tell you, for them being 3-1, where they're at right now is 3-1, and your one game that you lost to was a playoff team last year.
But they could have won that. If they were healthy.
It's okay. You know what? If that's how you would tell me the Detroit Lions would be 3-1 this year, I would say that is a Christmas miracle, or this is like Charlie at the Willy Wonka factory. This is something out of the norm.
Yep.
I'm starting to see it. And you know what? The NFL, it might not be so bad if Detroit gets into the playoffs this year and they do get a playoff win, at least one, just this year for the NFL. Because this team's exciting. It's fun to watch. They got players.
And here's something we didn't touch on. The NFL, we're talking about they need to look at stuff and change rules, but the NFL just took Jameson Williams' 6-game suspension, reduced it to 4.
Yeah, he's in now, right? He's in.
He's in, yeah.
And here's the thing, though, here, Viper. If Detroit was 0-whatever, I think Jameson Williams' suspension is fully fulfilled. Now they're exciting. They're fun. Oh, my goodness. You throw in this guy a week early? Let's see what happens.
Two weeks, actually.
No matter what people think about the NFL, in a court of law, it has already been proven that this is a form of entertainment. So as a form of entertainment, we never technically know what's going to happen in a form of entertainment. So people do have to realize that, and I think as a form of entertainment, you took this very harsh 6-game suspension to 5. Very cool. You know what I mean?
Well, it really wasn't the NFL doing it. It was because the NFL and the NFLPA have been looking at this rule and the severity of its punishment. They've now come to an agreement that 6 games is a little bit too harsh. They're reducing the standard punishment to 2 games. And so to the benefit of Jameson Williams and Nicholas Petit-Frere for Tennessee offensive linemen, they get to come back. They don't have to serve the whole suspension. Technically, they've served 2 games beyond what the NFL now agrees to. So I think it's a good adjustment. I think it's the proper adjustment. I said from the get-go, 2 games is acceptable or a fine.
Here's the thing. You're one block away from the facility, and you make the same bets. They're not in the NFL. You have no game suspension. You're on the facility.
Correct.
Well, you know what? You're at work, right? You shouldn't be gambling.
Yep.
You shouldn't be drinking on the job. You shouldn't be whatever. It's a normal work thing. And on top of it, you are a highly paid person per game. And all these players, after it's all said and done, they know how much they make per game. It's a pretty good salary. I don't want to jeopardize that, making a bet that I could make one block away in my Ferrari or, you know, Mercedes or whatever, and do it with no repercussion, you know, and make a big bet. It's good. Reduced to 2. I think that's fair. Like, if you're dumb enough, you kept on your phone, you hit the accept button or something, it made that bet, it triggered your whatever system. Okay, that was dumb. But two games at most should be this. You know what I mean? Now, if you're betting on the NFL, that's a whole different ball game. Like any sport that you're in, like I don't think if you're in the NFL, you should even bet on college football because it's football. You know, you might know people. Just keep it away from whatever sport you have. You know what I mean?
Right.
That, to me,
right.
Like, I think you're totally fine betting. If you happen to have a baseball friend, that's cool, dude. I'm sure he's not giving you that good of information, and trust me, try to hit a baseball.
Well, it's funny. Deion Sanders said of all the sports he played, the hardest thing to do was to hit a baseball. So
exactly.
I think it's from someone who's been at all those levels, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to Atlanta and Jacksonville. What's your pick on that game?
This one really hurts because I can see this game going either way. And right now, I think Atlanta will still be okay if they lose it, even though this would be their second loss in a row and go 2-2. But Jacksonville, if they go 1-3 here, this might really screw up their whole season. So I think they're in desperation mode. But to be honest, I'm picking Jacksonville, but I'm not confident in it at all.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Ski and Brother X are going Jacksonville. I'm with all three of you. I think Jacksonville rebounds. I think Detroit exposed Atlanta for what they are on the offensive side of the ball. They're the Bijan Robinson. The kid's great. Don't get me wrong. He's legit. But a rookie running back cannot win a game by himself in the NFL. You've got to have great quarterback play. Desmond Ridder was exposed against the Lions' defense. So I'm going Jacksonville.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that to have a good running game, you have to have a good passing game. To have a good passing game, you have to have a good running game. And Ridder passing, okay. So, yeah, of course, you're just going to stack them in the box, man. And you're only playing Ridder maybe 10 yards out for a clean pass. So,
yep.
They're going to take out Bijan Robinson. And you know what? If Bijan breaks through it all and he does this and he gets that 120-yard game, dude, he's going to be beat up and bruised like you can't believe. He had to run over like five dudes to get 5 yards.
Yep. Yep. What's the next game?
This game, to me, is maybe one of the games of the week. Like, if people didn't really like to watch football or they kind of like to watch football, I would say for these fans, watch this game. It's the Miami Dolphins versus the Buffalo Bills, the Beast. The Beasts are giving away 2.5 points, and the over-under is 53.5. So even Vegas says this is going to be a barn burner.
You mean, Vegas is favoring the Beast?
Yes. I know, even though Miami's 3-0, correct.
Wow. Boy, that's a tough one.
Field goal.
That's a tough one. I mean, the Miami offense is obviously clicking. Oh, man, I don't know what to do with this one.
No one does.
With offenses like these two have, 2.5 points is a pick 'em. I mean, really, when you think about it, with the amount of numbers these guys can put up, that's a pick 'em.
Yeah. Yeah, and 53.5 points for the over-under for the game is the most this week.
You know, and it's really hard. I mean, obviously you got two offenses that are clicking. It's really hard to pick the defense because Miami's defense hasn't faced anyone really good. I mean, they blew out the Broncos offensively, but that Broncos offense isn't that great. So you don't know how much of it was the defense
good. Here is one of the things about the Miami defense that people forget is a lot of times in the last 4 or 5 years that people have ever really talked about the Dolphins ever entertaining a playoff spot, it was basically because of their defense. So
yeah,
this defense has been pretty solid for a while. It's kind of hidden. People don't know it. And now you're seeing a super high-octane offense that Waddle is a top five wide receiver. Tyreek Hill is the number one wide receiver. And Tua is not hurt. And they just scored 70 points.
and I know that everyone's all gaga over Tua. And I still don't see it. Don't get me wrong. He did everything right last week. Every dog has the sun shine on him sooner or later. But I honestly think the thing that makes that Miami offense go is Mostert. Raheem Mostert is a – I don't even know why San Francisco let him go away. I mean, that guy is a beast. He is unbelievable. He's talented. He's a pass catcher. He's a runner.
And what's the other running back? Ashane or Ashane or something?
He's a rookie. Wow.
These two guys, these are running backs that you're like, no, people are going to know them in about 3 more weeks because they're going to start to look at overall yardage for the season. And on top of it, that game that happened last week with the Miami offense, 726 total yards. 726 total yards.
That's the second highest in NFL history. And I think it's the fourth highest on me playing Xbox. So, yeah, that's impressive.
No, and I remember on our chat, there was like 8 minutes left. And they already had 70. So they really put on the brakes. But they had 70 with 8 minutes left in the fourth. Like they could have totally scored whatever they wanted and you couldn't have stopped it.
Yep. Yeah, that was the textbook definition of a hot knife through butter. It wasn't even hard. And there was absolutely no resistance. What's that Star Trek one with the Borg? Resistance is futile? Yeah, that was that.
Oh, no. And it's kind of weird when you feel bad for the other team. And they're the Denver Broncos, and this is a team I should never feel bad about. And I'm still like, for those guys that were still on that field at the end, I'm like, oh, man, I would have maybe faked an injury or something. You know, I'd have got off there somehow. Like, oh, yeah, dude, bring in the COVID, dude. You know, the unit, the reserves, I don't care, practice squad, something, anybody. Get me out of here. This is horrible.
Well, and that's where,
who do you got in this game, Viper? You got to be?
Well, Brother X, I think Brother X, he's undecided still. He's got time, obviously, till tomorrow. But I think Brother X went with the Beast. I'm going to stick with Miami, and I think it's only because when I bet against them in week one and two, I got burned. They clearly delivered by going with them last week. I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to doubt Miami when when the chips are down. I think I'm just going to ride that until the horse stops bucking. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Miami on this one.
Well, I will say this about Miami. If they win this week, even if it's by 1 point, and now they are still undefeated, it's not the AFC that just has to be worried about Miami. I think it's the whole NFL. And I have to start to say, you might see this team in the Super Bowl. And if that offense keeps intact the way they have it right now, you're talking about maybe one of the best offenses with Dan Marino on the with Duper and Clayton and so forth and this and that, and then times it by like five.
Well, I do think they're going to get the better in this game, but I'm not one of those guys that goes for the hot hand fallacy. You know, just because someone does something one day, or
Buffalo gets two, three, four things in a row,
it's going
to
continue.
Buffalo could win 38-17 this game.
They could.
So I'm not, you know, it's just I love the Beast. I follow the Beast. And I think this is one of the things I've been talking about. They saw their heyday. They're declining now. The Roman Empire is fell.
The window's closing, yes.
No, it's not closing. It's officially closed. They still don't recognize.
Oh, I don't believe that.
And they'll still get up there. I mean, the best the Bills could do is get to the AFC Championship game. And if they're playing the Chiefs, or they're even playing the Dolphins or whoever, they're going to lose. I guarantee it. Yeah. So, and the thing is, Josh Allen is a great, great quarterback. Stephon Diggs is one of the best wide receivers I've ever seen. And what's sad is they're not going to be winners together. Anyway, they got to go somewhere else. But I think if they went somewhere else soon, They'll find a good spot and be right in it.
Right. Yep. Well, I think Skeet went with the Beast too. So I'm going Miami. Brother X went the Beast. Skeet went with the Beast. What are you doing, Seth?
Oh no, I'm going with the Fins.
Yep, me and you with the Fins. All right, moving on.
Oh, no, I have to gain games against everybody else. If I just pick everything you do, Viper, I'm going to be in second place.
Oh, there's Seth not picking who he thinks is going to win, but just to better his position. Okay, I like that strategy.
I didn't go to Hebrew school, but... The next game, the Baltimore Ravens against the Cleveland Browns. The Browns at home are 1.5-point favorites, and the over-under is 39, which is actually the lowest of the week.
Wow. Not a lot of confidence in the offenses on this one, is there?
Not according to Vegas. Watch it be a blowout.
Well, and maybe it's premature, but let me do the I told you so of the week. Okay, in the off season, there was this whole idea that Lamar Jackson is going to be the guy that, you know, Detroit or whoever needs to steal to get to the Super Bowl. And the way he played last week, the contract that Baltimore signed him to, okay, he should be thoroughly and utterly embarrassed. And Buffalo has a dinosaur-sized egg on its face for signing him to that contract. He was atrocious bad decision after bad decision, especially at the end of the game. That's not what you pay someone $250 million to do. And I'm sorry, fool's gold, Baltimore, you lose. You lose big.
Wow. Okay.
I'm saying it. Might be a little premature, but I'm saying it. Lamar Jackson is never going to be the Lamar of his MVP year ever again. If he hasn't gotten better by now, he is not going to.
Yeah, no, and that's going to be sad. But I think he'll always be at the same level, and the same level gets him to the playoff hunt, and then they figure it out from there. But it's not a winning combination. It's kind of like having Kirk Cousins on your team. You get to the playoffs, but then good luck after that. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can say whatever you want about Lamar or Kirk. Prove me wrong. Show me how many playoff wins those guys have between two of them. Between two of them.
Yeah.
It's not many. It's not the number you'd think it should be for what they get paid. But these guys get to the playoffs. So, there you go.
So who's got is it Cleveland with the points on from Vegas?
They're giving away 1.5, and the reason why I'm going Baltimore and I waited till the last second is I just got an updated injury report that the Cleveland tight end, I can't say his name, had some type of bonfire injury.
Oh, gee.
So I don't know what that meant. I don't know what that meant, Piper. But I'm like, well, I think they're minus their tight end. And that doesn't sound like
Njoku.
A very team. So
it's Njoku. Yeah, it's Njoku. Okay. What's his numbers on the year? Let's see. He's got, he's only got 5 receptions for 33 yards. I don't think that's a difference maker, personally, but.
Oh, no, it's just that's been the Browns' offense.
I'm sorry. He's got 10 catches for 92 yards, no touchdowns. My fault. No, he's a – I don't know.
No.
I think the defense is going
to
carry the game.
Thing. So he was going to be a – you know, he's your tight end. Eventually, your tight end is going to come into play. It's okay. But they're waiting for you to make the big plays, maybe even this week. And then you have a bonfire accident. So I don't know, but it sounds like he had burns to his face.
Yep.
So that's pretty effed up, dude. Burns to your face. What about your eyes, dude?
Well, maybe he shouldn't have had a s'more.
No, it just something about this that just tells me that lack of overall team preparation. I'm going with the Ravens.
I'm actually going to lean to the defensive side of the ball on this one. If the Colts can contain Lamar Jackson, the Cleveland Brown defense is even better than the Colts.
Oh, and
I think
Garrett Miles is one of the best in the NFL, dude.
Totally.
Garrett Miles will not retire a Cleveland Brown. Garrett Miles will retire like a 49er or something, some team that is going to championship games and they're winning playoff games.
Well, Miles Garrett.
He'll take them like that final step.
Well, Miles Garrett is already at 4.5 sacks on the year with 35 yards per loss and a forced fumble. The dude's a beast. He's a monster. And that secondary is doing a really good job defending. Got a couple of INTs here and there, and I'm just, you know, I like the Browns defense. I really do.
Oh, no, it's really bizarre, but most people don't understand a story about Myles Garrett. Is that even 2-3 years ago, something like that, for Halloween, he decorated his yard with tombstone of quarterbacks that he stacked. And it littered his yard. And I was like, that is hilarious. Like, every time you stack a quarterback for Halloween, you're putting their tombstone out there. I don't know. The guy's something special. He's one of the best I've ever seen. You can't stop him. There's no defense or offense that can stop him. I mean, you can double and triple team him. He's still going to do his damage.
That's the whole thing about, you know, those independently versus dependently great players. And Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, J.J. Watt, Max Crosby in Las Vegas, those types of pass rushers, I mean, they're beasts. If they can individually, even with double teams, impact the ball.
No. If the Steelers did not have J.J. Watt on T.J. Watt on that team against the Raiders, they would have lost that game. He won them that game.
Single-handedly won
them that game. And that's where, like, on defense, people didn't realize the Steelers without him, they're okay. With him, man, you don't want to ever bet against him. Because that guy can create havoc.
Yeah, he's a difference maker.
And that's where watching the Lions a lot. A.J. Hutchinson, he's something else. He's going to find you. He's a big boy.
Yep. All right.
Go ahead, Viper.
It's definitely going to be a tough game, but you're going Ravens, I'm going Browns. I don't know that I've got word in from Skeet yet on this one, but we'll get it logged in. Let's move forward.
This is going to be a fun game to watch, and these teams hate each other. So, you know.
Yep.
Now, the next game, Minnesota Vikings against the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers at home are getting 4.5 points, and the over-under is 46.5.
Interesting.
Yeah, if I had money and I was betting in Vegas, this would be the last game I would bet on. I'd be like, there's no way I'm touching this. Who's going to win this? I don't know.
It's tough.
Everybody in their mind is saying Minnesota shouldn't be 0-3. Everybody. And everybody's saying Carolina shouldn't be whatever record they are. They are not winless. And so...
Right.
We're at home. You know, is this exposing Minnesota? If Minnesota loses this game, they're 0-4. Kirk Cousins going to be on this team by the draft, trade deadline. He won't. It's already
self-directed. Both teams are 0-3. But
okay, that's what it is.
but I think you're right. I think Minnesota's not a bad 0-3. I mean, they really aren't. You know, but Carolina's a bad 0-3. You know?
Well, you know, to a certain extent, but, you know, some of Minnesota's games that they lost, or at least a game at home, you know, I don't know. This is not going to be a pretty game. And if there's, out of these two teams, one team could score 35 points and the other team like 17, it'd probably be Minnesota, to be honest. But I don't trust either team in this at all. And all I know in the NFL, in history, is if you go 0-4, your chances of going to the playoffs went from almost zero to what's less than zero. So, yeah, which is going to be crazy, because really if you want to dissect these two teams, you say, hey, the only one really worth getting rid of right now out of either team might be Kirk Cousins, and that's it. And at that point, if I'm the owner of the Vikings, he never did the thing that you wanted him to do. He took you to playoff games, but I think last year when you lost to New York at home, that was an embarrassment.
Well, the quagmire that that Minnesota's management has to be in right now. Kirk Cousins is the third best passer rating in the league right now. He's number three. You're losing, and it ain't Kirk Cousins' fault. At least not 0-3. That guy is probably the only guy producing on the whole team right now. How do you let that guy go? I mean, it's. I know why. I know what the thought process is, but it's almost like a Tony Romo syndrome. You don't know that Tony Romo's going to get it done, but you know your quarterback play could go backwards seriously from where you're at right now if you get rid of the guy. And does that help your team? I mean, this is not Kirk Cousins' fault. They got no running game. Their defensive strength has the windows closed on them.
They got rid of Dalvin Cook. So, yeah, you have no running game.
Yeah, they got rid of their best running back. And the result is they can't control the clock.
Yeah, and on top of it, have you ever seen Justin Jefferson on the sidelines looking happy anymore? No, not at all. So not only should you get rid of your quarterback, you're probably going to have to get rid of your best wide receiver. The Minnesota Vikings are going to have to do a whole different revamp, because anybody that's still there is ticked off. And 0-3 and you become 0-4, that doesn't solve any problems. Not at all. Not in the NFL.
Right. Well, and now going to the pick now. Okay. Well, I say there's a no, 0-whatever is never good. But in terms of these two teams, 0-3 against the Chargers, the Super Bowl runner-ups in Philadelphia, and the revitalized Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay, that 0-3 looks a hell of a lot better than 0-3 to the Seahawks, Saints, and Falcons. For that reason, I'm going Vikings.
No, and that makes sense. And it's just, I think Skrola is in such disarray. I think this team is ready to assemble. And you know what? Carolina at home. So I'm going Carolina.
Looks like Brother X and Skeet both went Minnesota.
All right. Now the next game, the Denver Broncos versus the Chicago Bears. The Bears at home are getting 3 points.
What a dumpster.
And the over-under is 46.5. Go.
I'm sorry. I know the Broncos just got blown out, and I'm sure Sean Payton put together a defensive practice like he hasn't done in a decade. There's nothing about the Bears that I find remotely valuable or respectable. There's nothing about that organization right now. They are a complete dumpster fire. They are on their way to getting the number one pick again. Whether they trade it away or not, I don't care. But the Bears are a complete dumpster fire. If, as bad as the Broncos were last week, I don't even think the Bears could be that good. So, to me, it's an easy pick. I mean, I'm going to go Denver. I'm going to bet against the Bears all year long, and I'm probably going to be right 95% of the time.
Yeah, this is kind of a bad game to pick regardless. And the only reason I'm going to go with the Bears is because they're at home. Yeah. If this was in Denver, I'd probably still go with the Bears because I don't like the Broncos. But in theory, I should go with Denver. This is a bad football game that, ironically, could be a high-scoring game, like 53-48. But that's because the defenses were that bad, too. Like, don't blame these two teams just on the quarterback. Please don't do that. You're making
a mistake. Russell Wilson.
Blame it.
No, Russell Wilson's not playing bad. He's not playing horrible. But Justin Fields is a dumpster fire.
And Justin Fields actually had some good moments, and then he fell apart late in the second half, but two interceptions in a quarter and a half, well, you know, people look at that too. Well, and they should. I'm just saying, but before that, I just think Justin Fields has to rebound more here, and I think the Broncos with Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, it's been this weird dynamic. It's not going to work. It looks like it's not going to work, and now they both realize that. And if they're going to make something work this season, this is a great opportunity for them to do it. Because if they don't do it against the Bears, and, like, let's say they lose by 17 to the Bears, then you know one of those two are not going to be on this team next year somehow. Because it's not going to work. Why would you do the same thing? And I know they both have big contracts. It doesn't make sense. But how many times has it ever worked that you already have a high-priced quarterback that you're locked into, and then you bring in a high-priced head coach and say, hey, let's all get along?
Well, as much as I don't believe in that scenario, and I agree with a lot of what you said, What I'm trying to think how a team can beat another team. Is there a path to do so? I cannot find any path. Like, let's say you got a running back, he goes off for a career day. Okay, that's a path. The Bears don't have any of that. They have nothing. I mean, is it going to be Chase Claypool going off? That'd be fine if Justin Fields could find him and he had protection, but he doesn't. So there's no path that I can see that the Bears can somehow even by fluke, find a way to win. I can't see it.
Yeah, but what if Justin Fields just says, hey, no matter what, I'm going rogue, they're not going to bench me, and I'm going to run for 273 yards and just run it almost every single play and win this game.
And he's going to get jacked and he's going to get concussion protocol. I mean, it happened last year. He did the same stuff last year. I mean, let's put it this way. I saw a meme this week on Facebook listing a bunch of guys that have won more than five football games since Justin Fields has been a starter. One guy's name, Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold has won more games and the number of starts since Justin Fields took over for the Bears. He's won eight. Justin Fields has won five. Sam Darnold isn't even – he's on the bench right now to Brock Purdy. So, I'm sorry. I'm not buying the Bears, and I'm going to be happy every week with the exception of maybe one or two, and I don't see it being this week. I don't know where Skeet and Brother X is.
But you went with Denver?
Oh, I'm the only one going with Denver. You guys are all going Chicago. It's no wonder I'm in the league.
Chicago too. Yeah, this is going to be a bad game. What's the opposite of, like, the best game to watch a week?
On this one, people who buy Red Zone, for the NFL Red Zone should just refund them a couple of bucks for the month, just for broadcasting this. So.
This could be a 58-48 game, so they could be scoring. You don't know how this game is going to work. But if I was a betting person, I would not touch this with the 10-foot pool. All right. Next game.
Oh, Steve changed his pick. He's going with Denver. I'm not alone.
Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Houston Texans. The Texans at home are getting 2.5 points, and the over-under is 42.5.
Houston Oilers. Texans. My fault.
Right.
Right. So, who's
got
the spread?
Houston's getting 2.5 at home.
Oh, my Lord. Wow. Wow. Well, certainly was a shocker last week. Can they do it again?
Well, and here's the thing, too, with Pittsburgh. They know for them in the AFC to be competitive at the end, they have to beat Houston today. I mean, Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want this loss. This loss could take you out of the playoffs. This win could put you in the playoffs. It's that much more important to Pittsburgh than Houston. And they got what, man? On that defense, he does things that people don't really – people forget how long he was out last season. They do.
Right.
We got him. Yeah, I'm going Pittsburgh.
Well, I mean, if I was going to play – I mean, I'm going to pick Pittsburgh, but if I was going to play devil's advocate for this game, boy, quarterback play seems to be pretty important. And after last week, this Dobbs kid, I think, is better than Pritchett or Kenny Pickett. I mean, he's putting up better numbers, and he's got less around him. I mean, picking the Steelers,
Houston's playing phenomenal right now. Yeah, this is – even if Pittsburgh does win this game – I only see Pittsburgh winning by like 4. Not a big margin.
Oh, totally. Totally.
And that's just credit to Houston right now with they put together.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah,
this is not going to be one where the Steelers walk away.
If Houston wins, I'm not surprised. But if Houston wins
right.
by, like, 17, then I'm surprised. But they just did it against Jacksonville. So, you know, man,
yep.
if they did that against Pittsburgh, I'd be like, uh-oh. You got a new kid in town in the AFC, and he's angry. And he's playing like he's angry.
Yep. Yep. No, I'm going Steelers, but I wouldn't be surprised if Houston scared him.
Yeah, here's an interesting game. And this is, in fact, the most interesting game of the week to me. Only because of where teams, people think that teams are going to be and where they are. The L.A. Rams are playing against the Indianapolis Colts. This is truly a pick'em pick, and the over-under is 46.
Oh, boy. Wow. That's a surprise.
Yeah, and I can see it. I mean, the Rams' offense is better than expected as of right now. And the Colts are playing better than as expected, except for everybody, except for the Indianapolis Colts organization. So, yeah. And, I mean, you're there in Indy right now. I mean, what do you think?
Right. Well, so it's behind the play of Gardner Minshew. I mean, the guy's proved himself, man. That may have been the best investment they made in the offseason.
Mm-hmm. Well, given their quarterback stance for the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, Andrew Luck really screwed them and sent them back. So to have, like, a real starting number one backup number two quarterback, Gardner Minshew has to be amongst the top of the names on the NFL list anyway, you know?
Totally.
So, yeah, that was a great pick. You know, hey, the kid gets hurt or it's not working out, you got that guy. And now
right.
the Rams are starting to connect. Have you seen that offense? They're starting to score some points.
Yeah, well, I'm going with the Rams on this one for sure. I like
yeah,
what the
I'm
Rams are doing right now.
Yeah, I'm going with the Rams on this one only because of the way that they're just, I mean, they can score points quick. So I think they're just going to outscore Indianapolis even with a good defense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And that's not Lamar Jackson back there. That's Matt Stafford.
Oh, no. And then look at, what is that kid, Nakua or something? That one Samoan wide receiver? Nakua? Yeah. That guy is the best wide receiver in the NFL right now. And that's with Cup being injured? And he's going to be coming off injured reserve pretty soon. Yeah.
Right. Yep. No, I think that's an easy pick. Saying Skeet are both going Rams. We're all going Rams.
All right. The next game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the New Orleans Saints, the Aints. And the Aints are giving away 3 points to the Bucs. And the over-under is 40, so it's the second lowest over and under.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised by this. I'm not going to lie.
The way Tampa Bay has been playing lately, I don't know. I'm going Tampa Bay. But this is a division game, and it's at home. But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, the Aints got Derek Carr now, man. And the Aints should have won last week in Green Bay, but their kicker missed the field goal. So,
well, and Derek Carr is questionable with that AC joint injury. So, by the way, those of you who don't know what an AC joint is, it's the acrovernacular whatever. It's in the shoulder, throwing shoulder. So, yeah, I can't say the name because I'd have to actually see if there's a lot of consonants in there. So, yeah, it's the shoulder. It's the shoulder joint. And, yeah, he's questionable right now. But, with or without Carr, I mean, the Saints defense is what wins games for them. It's going to be a stiff battle, but I actually think with Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield finding Mike Evans and the running game in Tampa Bay, I think they control this and they grind it out for a very close win.
Oh, yeah, I have Tampa Bay as well. And most people realize is Baker Mayfield is buying Mike Evans, and that is an explosion of points.
Yep.
I don't even know how to say it. It's unbelievable. Can't even describe it. So I think they're just going to outscore New Orleans here just by sheer fact, but it's going to be a tight game, so, you know, we'll see. Here's a blowout of a game, and it's unfortunate. I'd like to call a certain team, but I can't. But the Washington football team is playing against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are giving away 9 points, and the over-under is 43. So the chance of the football team winning this game are probably nothing. And I'm going.
Yeah, I would concur with that. I mean, the Commanders are respectable, though. I mean, they're not nearly as bad as I thought they were going to be when the year started. So they're better than what I thought they were. But no, they're just overmatched right now with the running game that DeAndre Swift has added to Philadelphia.
This is not the time for this Washington team to play Philadelphia.
Given four weeks,
maybe a totally different game. But right now, no, this is a mismatch. This is a massacre. This is like a 38-10 game.
Probably 10. I can't see more than 14 points for the Panthers. So, yeah, I would agree with that. I think we're all going Philly.
No, and Philly has a good team. Okay, the next game, and this is sad for me to say, but the Las Vegas Raiders are playing against the Los Angeles Chargers. And the Chargers are giving away 5 points to the Raiders. And the over-under is...
Raiders. The Raiders.
And the over-under is 48.5.
Oh, boy. Well, I think the Chargers getting off the schneid and getting a win last week was a big boost in the arm for them. What do you think of this one? I'm a little bit torn. I think it's a little bit more even than what Vegas thinks.
I talked to another Raider fan today, and we talked about the loss. And I'm also a Steelers fan, so I understand certain things about this game. And we both concluded Garoppolo can't even throw it 15-plus yards in the air. It's sad. It's going to take away Josh Jacobs, the whole run game. It's bad. It's an embarrassment. I'm going with Herbert. He's going to win. They're going to go 2-2, and they're going to somehow salvage their season.
Did Garoppolo clear concussion protocol?
Oh, I hope he's not. We have a better chance of winning.
Who's the backup?
So, yeah, I'm not even basing it on that.
I mean, I'm going Chargers, too, but...
No, the Raiders suck this year. They're going to super suck. And everybody thought that Garoppolo for Carr was going to be kind of an even type of thing. Well, Carr didn't get us to the playoffs for X amount of years. So an even swap, that meant we weren't going to have that. It's bad. They're going to lose. They suck. Chargers.
Right. Yep. I think we move on. Yeah, I think it's Chargers. I'm going Bolts.
Yep. The next game, the New England Patriots are playing against Cowboys are giving 6.5 points, and the over-under is 43.5.
This is a tough game. Every game with the Patriots is a tough one to predict. Am I wrong?
You never know. And on top of it, before last week, we would have said this game was an easy Dallas pick until we saw what they did in Arizona. And it wasn't that Arizona just won the game. They destroyed Dallas. They decimated them. And Bill Belichick might expose some of the things that he saw in the film on that game. And he's a coach that could do it.
Yeah, this is a tough game, I swear. And, oh, man. After last week, I don't want to pick Dallas. Oh, Lord. I'm going to go Dallas. I don't think they can lay an egg 2 weeks in a row. I don't trust the Patriots defense, and Dak Prescott has enough experience. Belichick ain't going to rattle him. It's going to be a steady diet of Tony Pollard running the ball and Prescott going off play action. I just think that Dallas has too many weapons, and they're not gonna lay an egg 2 weeks in a row. I'm gonna go Dallas. It's gonna be close, but yeah.
But it'd be really weird in this week, just after what happened to both teams, if this game is in New England. I'd actually pick New England, but because it's not. I'm only going to go with Dallas because if Dallas doesn't rebound from this, it's going to be bad. Real bad for the Cowboys.
Say
it's going to be bad for the Patriots. Just, they're not expected to do, like, they'll rebound better, per se, especially if they lost to the Cowboys by 3 or 4. Like, okay, that was a good game. We competed. But the Cowboys lose this game to the Patriots, and their whole NFC anything is over. It's done.
Right. Yep,
so,
I agree.
Yeah, I'm going Dallas just based upon that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yep. Well, unfortunately, parent duties call. I'm going to give you my last three, and you're going to have to finish without me here. I'll try and come back. But I've got
Niners, Chiefs, and Seahawks in the next three that you have. So, Seth, keep us going. I'll try and call back in a few minutes, all right?
All right.
All right.
Yeah, so now we have the Arizona Cardinals playing against the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers actually have given away the AZ Cardinals 14 points, and the over-under is 42.5, which basically means this is the biggest spread in the entire week. But don't discount the Cardinals, especially what they did. But also realize, people, what the 49ers have been doing. They're amazing. Even the last 5 years, when people looked at some of the records, look at how hurt this overall team was at all times. And I know, you say, every team gets hurt. Not like this. And they were still somewhere around 500. This team has matured. You even took Mr. Irrelevant, and he got you to the NFC Championship game. And he got hurt in the game. If he was not hurt, which he also did still come back, they probably would have beat the Eagles. You can say whatever you want to say. AZ, appreciate everything and know and love what you do. But against San Francisco, this time of the year, I just don't see it. Vegas giving you 14 points, that should kind of say something. I'm going San Francisco. Next game, the Kansas City Chiefs versus the New York Jets. Jets. The Jets at home getting 8.5 points, and the over-under is 41.5. Man, if you look at these two teams, what's going on? Before the season ever began, we'd probably say this is going to be a great game. Well, we're not. Kansas City is basically got the same team that they've had for the last X amount of years that go to the X amount of AFC Championship games that go to the X amount of Super Bowls. So we got that. And then we got the Jets. You got Salah as a coach that helped. Hey, you grabbed a couple guys, and especially the main guy you grabbed. Sure. Aaron Rodgers, starting quarterback. Well, he didn't last a quarter. And then the guy that you had in the backup, now at this point, instead of your number one, Zach Wilson, I told him, F you. But now we need you. So, yeah, there's a business builder. Horrible. It's unfortunate. Everybody was rooting for the Jets this year. I don't see it. It's a disaster year. It's already fell apart. So I got Kansas City. So I don't know. Maybe this is the last game of the night. But the Seattle Seahawks versus the New York Giants, the G-Men, are getting 1.5 points at home, and the over-under is 47. I don't know. This Seattle team is actually a really good team. They have weapons like you can't believe. And the thing is everybody says with Seattle, I think, Geno Smith. Everybody talks about it. You know what? The guy is good enough to make sure you don't lose. How much better do you need out of a quarterback certain times? If you have great wide receivers, you have great running backs, you have a really good defense. Geno's been playing well, been playing better than expected, doing things that people have not talked about in a while on this team without Marshawn Lynch. But with the G-men, we can only talk about Danny Jones for so much, and it's always like hit or miss. Oh, you got a healthy Saquon Barkley. Oh, hey, you can beat this team, but then you lose this team by like 40. I don't know. This is Giants. This is our year. I don't even know what to say or do about any of it. But in a weird way, and I know this is probably going to jinx them, but because they, I don't think they've lost a game yet. I'm not sure. But I'm going to go with Seattle over New York. But that's probably why New York will win. Oh, wow. So, now I guess we've done all of our picks. And everyone's saying, oh, what else is going to happen on the show? I'm not sure. Well, we could also talk baseball. Because it's playoff baseball time. And there's been some amazing runs that people haven't even seen or whatever. And we're literally coming down to the last day in some of the picks. I love it. If you'd like to call into the show, please call into the number that we've given. Well, anyways, everyone, I'm going to let you have a good night, and thank you for calling to the show. Okay, take care. Bye.